Blog Talk Radio.
To reach us here is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. We'll be happy to entertain your questions or comments. Our guests will be happy to address you as well. And as always, we're grateful to have our regular panelists on, Minister Pastor Ricky Waller, who has joined us as well. And as customary, we will begin with our monologue. We hope that you enjoy our presentation. Tonight we're going to enjoy some historical music, and I hope that we learn something from listening to it. So our format is going to be a little bit different than the previous shows. But the topic is Negro Musicology, the story of a people in America. Since slavery, people of Afro ancestry in America have used music as a soothing balm of relief from harsh treatment and experiences. In the face of death, oppression, family separation, and much more, the Negro, commonly referred today as African Americans, have survived. They found hope and their musical expressions. As I said, we're going to have a live blues gospel musician on who will be able to tell us directly about these things in the person of Mr. Casey Clark. But we'll come back to that. Psalms 150, verses 4 through 5 reads in the King James Version, "Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals." I want to offer some definition for our conversation tonight. One of them is a griot, G-R-I-O-T. A griot is a West African historian. They're known to be a storyteller, a praise singer, a poet and or musician. The griot is important in West African society because they operate as a stock room of oral stories and traditions, and is often seen as the leader in society due to the fact that what they do through music is record the greatest accomplishments or the tragedies of kings and queens and leaders. Musicology MUSICOLOGY, is the scholarly analysis and research-based study of music. Yes, is that serious? When we talk about historical musicology, we're talking about music history and the records of that experience. And it is considered to be one of the prominent sub-disciplines of the study of music. Now, what I'd like to do is to go through at least four genres of music, beginning with gospel. And I want to share with you who the fathers of each of the genres were. And in addition to that, describe to you the difference in each of those genres of music. The father of gospel music is Thomas Andrew Dorsey, born in 1899, who passed in 1993. He was born in rural Georgia. He often traveled with his father, who was an itinerant Baptist preacher. And interestingly enough, his mother played the organ in church. So gospel music can be best described as a genre in Christian music. The creation of performance, significance, and even the definition of gospel music, it varies depending on the cultural context. We hear often that white music is different than black music. Well, based on your way of life or ethnic expression, often it affects it. But rest assured that gospel music has a consistent pattern proposed and performed for many reasons, including just pure pleasure, religious or ceremonial purposes, such as a wedding or funeral, and just to entertain as a product in the marketplace. We see how it has evolved now to where there's a big emphasis on making money with gospel music. Usually it has a dominant feature of vocals, often with strong use of harmony. Everybody's singing in different parts of harmony. And the words are Christian or religious lyrics. Gospel music can be traced to the early 17th century with roots in the black oral tradition going back to slavery. They use hymns and sacred songs and repeat it in a call and response fashion. Most of the churches relied on hand clapping and foot stomping as rhythmic accomplishments because they didn't have any instruments. Many of them were slaves. Most of the singing was done in, done a cappella, I should say. In other words, no music accompanying. The first published use of the term gospel song, quote unquote, appeared somewhere around 1874. Let's talk about the father of jazz, Mr. Charles Joseph Buddy, quote unquote, Bolden, who was a Negro cornet player and is regarded by his contemporaries of that time as a key figure in the development of what we now call New Orleans-style ragtime music, which later became known as jazz. Born in 1877, died in 1931. It is described as a genre that originated among Negroes in New Orleans, as I mentioned earlier, in the late 19th and 20th centuries. Jazz can be characterized as swing and blue notes. Call and response, just like with gospel, is a staple, using vocals or polyrhythms and improvisation. In other words, they sometimes call it playing from the hip. Jazz has roots in West Africa as well as gospel does. Cultural music expressions and in African-American music traditions. Blues, ragtime, and oftentimes is used in European military band music. Let's talk about the father of blues, Mr. William Christopher Handy, born 1873, who passed in 1958. W.C. Handy was an American composer and musician known as the Father Blues. Handy was one of the most influential American songwriters. This genre music is represents a form that originated by Negro Americans in the Deep South of the United States around the end of the 19th century. The genre developed from roots in African musical traditions. If you see, there's a consistency here. Negro and black work songs as they were in the fields during slavery, and European American folk music both accompanied blues. Blues incorporated spirituals, the songs that were sang by the slaves in the fields, people who were field hollowers, people who shouted and used chants, and rhythm simple narrative ballads. It is characterized by the call and response pattern, there again related to gospel as well and jazz. The blues scale and specific chord progressions, of which 12-bar blues is most common. Now, we're going to have Mr. Clark to talk to us about this a little bit. But blue notes, as they're called, or the blues scale, consists of six different notes. And of those, there are five notes of the minor scale, plus one additional note that's added in there. This note added is diminished, or called the diminished fifth note, and is measured from the scale. For example, adding to a C minor, if you know anything about music, you got the C, you got the E, you got F, G, B, back to the C. Blues shuffles or walking bass reinforce the trance-like rhythm, keeps you in a groove. They call that groovy, man. It's real groovy. Let's talk about the father of rhythm and blues, the combination of the two. Born in 1908, died in 1975, Louis Thomas Jordan was a pioneer and American musician and songwriter. As a band leader who was very popular in the late 30s, 1930s, and the early 50s. When we talk about rhythm and blues, it is abbreviated as R&B, and it is of popular African-American music that originated around 1940, consists of piano, one or two guitars, bass, drums, saxophones, and sometimes background vocalists. Rhythm and blues lyrical themes often encapsulate the Black American experience of pain and their quest to be free and to be happy. Lyrics focus heavily on the themes of triumph and their failures in terms of relationships, look for freedom and expectation of economic independence and aspiration, and watch this, you all, even their sexual experiences. Now, some of the greatest rhythm and blues groups consist of the Earth, Wind, and Fire, the OJs, and people like Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, and you even got the Ohio Players, just to name a few, just to name a few. Leslie, I want to talk to you about hip-hop, because this is where we are today in 2017, and this is no doubt the fullest evolution or progression of the earliest form leading all the way back to the 1800s or the slave experience. But today, young people within a certain age group identify with what is known as hip-hop. It's said to begin around 1955, with a gentleman by the name of Clive Campbell. He's still alive, as I understand. They also refer to him by stage name as DJ Kool Herc. He's a Jamaican-American DJ who was credited with originating what we call hip-hop music in the early 70s, straight out of the Bronx, New York. Hip-hop music, also called rap music today, is a music genre formed in the U.S., as I mentioned earlier, in the 70s, and it consists of style rhythmic music that commonly accompanies rapping. This rhythmic and rhyming of speech or words that is chanted, it developed as a part of hip-hop culture, and this subcultural expression is defined by four key stylistic elements. You know you hear it when it's accompanied with what they call emceeing or rapping. Somebody's on the mic. DJing or scratching of what looks like a record or something. Break dancing that's often associated with and graffiti writing. Other elements include samplings or synthesis or beatboxing. We see how music from the 60s is sampled today in a lot of what the current hip-hop or rap music entails. I have the pleasure now of bringing our special guest in tonight and letting him introduce himself, and also our panelists. Pastor Waller, how you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
All right. Great. But it's my honor to bring our guest in, Mr. Casey Clark. How you doing, sir?
Good morning.
Man, I heard you tickling with that guitar earlier.
I can't live without it, sir.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, that's my
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I cut you.
My wind. You know, we can't go without breathing.
That's right.
My
that's
love.
Right.
Which a man in love can't work. I have it near me. 24 hours
right.
a day, sir.
All right. Well,
music can heal the. I'm in a situation. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Situations
okay.
where I played music, and people said I was just down and out.
Mm.
You mentioned something earlier about the blues. Without
mm-hmm.
the blues
mm-hmm.
singing in the cotton fields, I don't know where we'd be at today.
Music
is part of us.
Okay. Interesting. Well, you certainly have proven yourself to be a master of your craft, so we want to give you your roses while you can smell them. I hope you appreciate the way they look anyway.
Yes.
So you've heard our monologue, and what I'd like to talk about with you tonight is the fact that in our experience, in the Afro-American experience, some would say Negro experience or Black experience,
uh-huh.
We've come a long way. And most of the religious community would tell you that we should focus solely on gospel music and Christian ideas and lyrics and so forth. I've come to find that there is strong connection, and perhaps there's a good argument to be made that we can learn from both. So tonight, I'd like for you to lead our discussion with regards to that, if you don't mind, good man.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit of where you're from, Casey.
I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, approximately 32 miles south of Nashville, on your way to Chattanooga. I'm just 30 Nashville. You can't miss Murfreesboro, where some of the greatest people had traveled. I found out before my time, they had traveled.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the greatest entertainers had to come
mm-hmm.
through Murfreesboro.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the only street back in the day that ran from Atlanta to Nashville.
Is that right?
Wow. Yes, sir. So I saw the biggest. Then a gentleman told me, Louis Armstrong had stopped
mm-hmm.
in Murfreesboro.
Mm-hmm.
Count Basie.
Wow.
The gentleman that was one of the world's greatest directors of the big band, mm-hmm. played the piano. Can't think of his name, but they all had to come through Murfreesboro. And then in the 60s, Fats Domino, Little Richard.
Wow.
Tina Turner.
Okay.
Murfreesboro was the, because you had to come this way to leave Nashville to get to other large cities. We were on the main strip of I-24, but it wasn't I-24 then.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So,
got
into music. After watching a show called American Bandstand, Dick Clark.
Okay.
And can't forget listening to Grandmama aunties. I remember listening to the radio, sitting on it when we didn't have TVs, you all. We had to listen to it on the radio.
And right, right.
Ernest Reckonmar, John Ark, was there in Nashville, who played a big part, wrote, and the making of a lot of today's black artists.
Okay.
That was the place.
Okay.
And gotcha. Like I said, Dick Clark on American Bandstand, I found out later on, he named a lot of them guys like Chubby Checker.
What?
Yes, sir. He named a lot of the, he gave them their stage names, and it worked for them. Yes, sir.
Well, they became very popular, that's for sure.
Yes, sir. That's true.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned, Bert Clark, we're going to, normally we would have a regular flow of conversation, and Pastor, you jump in here anytime you get ready. I want to, before you answer this question, I want you to, if you don't mind, sir, answer this question. I want you to listen for the next 3 minutes or so. Let's listen to two singers, and I think you'll identify them. One of them is Denise LaSalle, and the other one is a fellow who calls himself Bishop Bullwinkle. And I want you to see, tell me, Casey, answer this question. How important is it for music listeners to strongly consider the lyrics of a given song for not just the music or how it makes you feel, but the words to be learned, the lessons and the words to be learned from them. Let's the next maybe 4 minutes, so let's check this out. And I want you to listen to what Denise LaSalle said about a dream she had when she talked to God.
Right.
So y'all just keep standing there with us right quick.
I ain't going to preach too long. I ain't going to take the service to the bar. My sermon this morning, tell them no, no, no. Come on, come on, tell them no. Tell them no, no, no. Everybody get a seat. Come on, y'all. Sister Lily may go back in the kitchen, cause the winter gets too needy. I'm mustin'. Fix me collard greens and cornbread and rice. Chicken breast, oxtails on the side. That's what I'm talking about. Deacon Underwood, get my busy ready, cause winter gets too needy, right? Come on! Dr. West, count the money, coming back and tell us what you raised. We ain't gonna find another deacon. I got some people there looking for some business. First, God got to get your praise. Come on, y'all. See, there's an old saying. When the praises go up, you get the blessing coming down. I got some people in the church. God Almighty, look at them. They mess around. Help us. Come on, come on. Woo. Hell no. Tell them no, no, no. Hell, tell them no. Hell, tell them no. Tell them no, no, no. Listen. I got people in the church smoking weed, drinking whiskey. They drinking a lot of gin. What you say? I got the preacher with the night prayer meeting. Talking about can I hear the amen? Come on. Early Sunday morning, about a quarter and a half past ten. Yeah. I got some people, they coming off the street. God Almighty, look at them, they strolling in. They need help. They land at the altar. They confess the sin, their sin. Come on, wait. Time to see them Monday morning. They doing the same thing again. Hypocrite, hypocrite.
I know.
Hell no.
It seems like my people, they
That was loaded, gentlemen. That was loaded.
Yes.
Help
oh,
me
yeah.
out for a clock now. I'm a Rick, Pastor Waller and I are preachers. And we tell people that there's hope in God and that they should trust the church. And but we heard Bullwinkle say that, excuse his expression, but hell to the no, to the no, no. And then our
uh-huh.
good friend, Denise LaSalle, who told us, look, God told her that he was tired of going through change. Help me with
Woo.
That. Is there, what can we learn from those
things? And I tell them all the time, you know, a lot of people have gotten so godlified and holified that they really don't want the truth about life. But listen to the words of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Cooke told us there's a change going to come.
Mm.
Otis Redding was sitting on the dock of the bay. Temptation said, Papa was a rolling stone. That is of us.
Okay.
Case guy
okay.
one said, things, lately things, this ain't always gone wrong.
Right.
Guess I better leave this lady alone.
My Lord.
You all is a teaching in the word of all music if it's real.
Okay.
Always listen to the word. The music is good, but don't get too far lost in the bass and the music that you forget their meaning because they're telling their story. Words
okay.
are written, it's, great scholars are great storytellers. They're
mm-hmm.
good, great writers.
Right.
And songs
so,
about music, about life.
Right, right.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Pastor Waller, what do you think about that? Do you think that there's some heretical about that or some out of order about Bullwinkle and what Sister Denise LaSalle was talking about?
I personally would say that I think it is in line myself.
Okay.
Brother Keesey, when I think about Brother Keesey from hearing him, I mean, I even heard him play and heard him sing, man. I think he can bring it to the table, man. You know, I just have to say that. You know, I watched him play that guitar, and I, you know, sometimes you can make a particular instrument talk.
Yes, sir.
And,
right.
And I heard him walk that thing. I heard him make it talk, you know, and how he put this love that he has for it. And that's
right.
a gift of his, and I want to commend you for that. You know, and also I would like to say that how I got in relationship with God, it wasn't through church music, quote, if that's what they want to call it.
What?
I got information, yeah. You know, the OJs say there's a message in our music.
Yes, sir. Yes,
know,
yes sir.
They hum along and sing the song. And they
right.
said, understand, you know, understand why you dance. You know, he said, clap your hands. You know, all those things. You know, and then later on, I found out in the Bible that it says, clap your hands, all you people.
Woo! That's right. That's right.
Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. You know, if you've been losing for a long time, like I myself was, I was willing to try anything. And so the OJs came out with a song talking about Stairways to Heaven.
Yes, sir.
And I heard that.
Yes,
you
sir.
See?
Right.
But it gave me a reminder that there was hope. And so one day they came out with a song, and it has to do with the year 2000. It says, what would this whole world be like in the year 2000? And I wanted to know what that song was about. That was an album back in the 80s. But the question was asked about what was going to be going on in the year 2000.
Woo,
and he
okay.
said things like this. He said, there should be people who call themselves rulers of the world in the year 2000. And I was listening to the message. And he said, will there be people starving to death when I know there's enough food here for every man, woman, boy, and girl in the year 2000? So I was listening. And then
yes.
he came along, and he put emphasis on that again about will there still be people who call themselves rulers of the world? And I'm just thinking, like, there are some people who call themselves rulers of the world. And then it came around, my brothers, and said something like this. Will there still be people smoking and blowing cocaine in the year 2000? And I was no more good. You know, because he went down my alley at that time. I was starting heroin, and I was, yeah, and I was captured, and I was thinking, the 2000 won't be long from now. You know, I'm thinking maybe almost 20 years, 2000 will be here. So they helped me get myself lined up with God. So in 1992, I got delivered.
That's
all know?
Right.
And I wanted to hold on until the year 2000 and see what I would be doing. And in the year 2000, man, I was 8 years delivered. on the strength of someone singing a powerful song, and it didn't have, quote, anything to do with people inside the church, man.
That's all.
I just want to, you know what I mean? That's just the way it came with me. See, I stepped up in 1990 and realized I needed some help.
Yes, sir.
And I said, man, the year 2000 is almost here. You know what I mean? The man already asked me a question in the 80s. What would this whole world be like in the year 2000? What would I be doing in the year 2000? Would I be still smoking and blowing cocaine? I'm like, man, this heroin is destroying me. And sure enough, I went and made a move and went to God, and he heard me, man, and accepted me, and then delivered. And Brother Casey, guess what, man? Yes, sir, guess what, Brother Casey? Not only did he accept me, he didn't even tell me to stop doing the heroin.
Cool.
I kept doing it. You know, all he wanted me to do was trust him.
Trusting
and
him,
that's the message I got from the OJs. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Pastor, you know about my story.
Yes,
I've shared it with you, man. And I got kind of excited when you brought up about the gospel and the secular music and, you know, music as a whole, because I love music as long as it's grooving.
Yes, sir.
And, and that music was grooving. And, Brother Casey, I tell you, man, brother, when I heard you play, it wasn't nothing but a groove, brother.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it wasn't nothing but a groove. Yeah.
Now, gentlemen, I read an interesting story about Thomas Dorsey, who was credited as being the father of gospel music. And, of course, you know, he had Negro spirituals before then. But the interesting thing about Thomas Dorsey, he started, his folk were in the church, but he was well known for his blues.
Uh-huh.
It was after the death of his wife that he wrote a very powerful song that he was trying to heal his pain with, that led him to be recognized for gospel music.
Yes.
And I believe it was Precious Lord, Hold My Hand.
Uh-oh.
So, when he wrote that song, it just flipped everything for him. But interestingly enough, Casey, I read that he wasn't allowed to play what he was best at. He had to play that after church was over.
Okay.
But watch this, Casey. Watch this, Casey. He had a captive audience even after church.
Ain't that something?
Isn't
that something?
Ain't that something?
Yeah, but it had a message in it. It had a message in it.
See, y'all know who was my, after going through all them years learning and watching and listening, but the last straw in my music just blew me away was Jimi Hendrix.
Wow.
Jimmy was way out there, you all. If you get a chance, listen to a song by him called Angel. Let me give you another group of them. You all remember the Beatles? Guess what John Lennon wrote? Imagine There's No Heaven. Did y'all hear me? Imagine There's No Heaven.
When you see,
our problem today, a lot of people, you are moving too fast. If you outrun yourself, you will never learn anything. I teach all my people that I help. I don't ever call it teaching music, too. My job is to correct you, but I tell them this is the thing. Humble yourself.
Okay.
Don't try to figure the piano out. Just do what I show you constantly, and you cannot go wrong. It's like the interstate. I-65, follow the signs that say I-65. You cannot get lost. Preacher, that's something I wrote last week, sir. Guess what it said? I got one question. Guess what it said? It said a man was lost. Maybe he was even blind. Let's just say down Charlotte. And he seen a brother on the corner. He said, brother, how do I get to heaven from here? You know what the man said? Brother, get there from here. You know what he done? Roll a little window up there, but all halfway broke. He went down another couple of blocks. This God gave me one other night, y'all. You feel me? Uh-huh. I got something for you. He went another block.
Uh-huh.
Another brother on the street corner. He said, brother, I'm lost. See, first of all, you got to admit that you're lost.
Okay.
He said, I'm trying to find heaven. You know what he told him?
Yeah.
He said, first, go straight. You got to straighten up, y'all. We got to straighten up. And guess what he said next? Turn right. He said, turn right. Guess where about at? Guess where about? He said, turn right on Heavenly Boulevard, and you can't go wrong.
Oh, my.
Bad,
oh, my.
Watch out.
Yeah, you got to watch it, man. You got to watch it on that now.
out of where I said. Yeah. Turn right.
You gotta watch him now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Go turn right.
That sound like. It sound like some good information there.
Yeah,
you know, it reminds me what the word said: depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Yeah, go after. You know, you got to depart from something.
I got something else for y'all. I'm not gonna take up too much of time, but whenever y'all need
me, I'm right here.
I got something there for you. I'm not through yet.
Pastor, if I didn't know any better, I would think he's trying to sneak a preacher in on it.
Yeah, man, I think he just eased one in, too, you know.
So
he sure can pluck that thing now. I'm telling you now.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes,
yeah,
sir.
Oh, yeah. So now, Casey, before we go to our little commercial break here, we see how, obviously, there is a strong connection to the old music of our ancestors in the American.
Yes,
we can't get away from that.
I don't think so.
Well, I share with you that there is a common theme in gospel, in jazz, in blues, and even in hip-hop. And guess what that is? It's the call and response. Somebody speaks and somebody responds.
Yes, sir.
That is how we have been able to. Oh, some people have asked, how is it that people of African or Afro ancestry who are descendants of slaves, how is it that they maintain themselves for so long without just cracking, breaking up, and giving up? And it was the music.
Very great question.
That lets you know.
It was the music.
Yes, sir. Music.
Go ahead.
Woo! Y'all done got me started now. Let me tell you. I was playing one night, and a player got on West End. And I was just playing, and this gentleman, his little son, came in at approximately... He may be 5 years old, y'all. When they got up to leave, I was on the edge of the stage by the door, and the little boy high-fived me. Took a break.
Wow.
And his father turned around and came back in the place with him and said, "Sir, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "My wife and I is going through a bad time."
Mm.
He said, "You made my son feel good. We watched you for the last few minutes to play that guitar. And my son showed excitement in him that I'd never seen before."
Wow.
Okay.
That's why I keep continuing to tell people, they want to jump on me about, well, you play in the nightclub and you play in the church too. My God is everywhere. Where you going to get them if you don't go where they're at? We ought to stand tall anywhere. You do right. What I just tell y'all about turning right.
Right.
That's nothing wrong with you. Man, the guitar, I don't see anything wrong with the guitar. And that's what they do with the church. But I am saying, for him to be a good guitar player, and you know, you have a love for
speaking to your phone, Pastor.
I said, can you hear me a little bit better now? For you to have a love for God, and you know, for you to play the guitar, I mean, it's a gift from God. So you know, it's like there's nothing wrong with you playing a guitar. And knowing that you have a heart for God, the way you express yourself, you understand? And so I personally just want you to know, be encouraged because of that.
I appreciate that.
It's not like you're worshiping the guitar or anything. It's just that you're grateful for the gift that God gave you to be able to do what you do with that guitar. Now, I had a chance to hear you and to experience. And I would call it a privilege myself to see how dedicated you was when you were playing the guitar. And it happened to be on the time when Pastor Dockery, had you come out.
Yes,
and, man, you know, up under the tent out there, brother.
Yes,
you know, on the Kroger's lot here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But,
uh-huh.
Man, listen, man, I want to say this right here, man. The guitar had a thing going on with you. And you had a thing going on with it, man.
Appreciate
it. And I saw the people that you was affiliated with that was playing those instruments, man. I mean, they were kidding. They were devoted. They put it out there, you know, in such a way where you can appreciate that type of music.
Because
it was a message. That's what I've always gotten out of music is the message.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I can also be honest with you, you know, and to say that there was music back when in the rap. I had a taste of listening to some of that because I came from the lifestyle But I'm thinking about how appreciative I am when Pastor Doctor brought up about the gospel and how they would be listening to while they was in slavery and how they can do. Man, look, I was just grateful to hear what he brought up. So, you know, it's just a joy to know that the word that I've learned in Matthew 11 and 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see what I'm saying? So if there's a message in the music, then I have to learn how to listen to that message that's coming from the music.
Yes, sir.
And if there's no message in it, it ain't going to do me no good.
Yes, sir.
You see? You know, and well, so that's now, what I do when I listen to, when I listen to that music,
something.
Man, I'm looking for the message.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
let me say something, gentlemen.
All right.
Over my almost 20 years of pastoring, I found that a lot of good people live in guilt because they come to church and they look for the gospel music to answer the questions that were raised about their pain from the blues. And oftentimes they leave church without a firm answer. So they go back to what they know and what is natural. And that's the blues experience, the rhythm and blues. In those songs, the truth is told.
Yes, sir.
About how they feel and what's going on.
If we as preachers
fail to connect them with the word of truth in such a way that they can apply it in their lives, guess what?
Yes.
They're still trying to fill that empty void with what we call secular music.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That is so true.
That's right. That's correct.
When a man loves a woman. When a man loves a woman. Listen to the words today.
It's power.
The persuaders told us. The mighty persuaders told us the truth. When they said it's a thin line.
Yes, sir.
Between love and God.
Woo!
Goodness. You're in the word right there. You're in the word. Yeah, you're in the word right there, Pastor, when you said that.
You know what?
Look.
I've been playing a song for years. But it's a song I played in the club, and now I play it in the church because I want to make clear, you all, we're talking about truth now. If it's true, it's true. I don't care why you do it at. The truth will stand.
Right.
Curtis Mayfield, people get ready. That's a warning. People get ready.
Get ready.
Then he tell them, say, it's going to rain, Pastor?
That's what he said.
People get ready. There's a train.
Yeah.
And guess what is good about it? You don't need no cake.
No, don't do that, man. So what you're saying, you got to do is just get on foot.
Get on board.
Look here. We better collect ourselves, get ourselves together here. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. We have with us tonight Mr. Casey Clark, laying it down, and our good friend and panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. The number is 657-383-0409. 44. That's 657-383-0409-44. If you're listening to us via Facebook, I know a lot of people hear the show from there. Come on, give us a call. Talk to us. Let us hear your comments, your questions. Casey, that gives us that's a good segue. Let me do this brief commercial, and after which I want to share with you two artists. One is a blues, and another is a very, very well-known gospel singer. I want you to tell me, Casey, the answer to this question. It's real simple. I want you to answer this question. How are the scales or musical arrangements different from gospel and blues, or how are they similar? You think you can do that for me when we come back, Casey?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Y'all bear with us here. Again, this is Talk Straight. The number is 657-383-0944. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. We'll be right back.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Street. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. We're on with Casey Clark, professional musician, gospel and blues musician, and our panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. We're talking about Negro musicology, the story of a people in America. Gentlemen, you heard the last piece there. That was ZZ Hill, Down Home Blues, and the renowned Inez Andrews, Lord, don't take away my, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength. Casey.
Yes, sir.
I want you to explain to me like I'm 3 years old. What is the difference, or if there was there a difference in the progression of scales in those two songs?
No, sir. And let me tell this in the audience, anyone want to learn to play music, it's only seven notes to music.
You may
move and smooth half step. That just makes it a half, as in a G. You slide half, makes it just like a G sharp.
But as
I see.
But I teach. In order to teach, you have to teach simplicity for people who don't know to learn.
Right.
And I've seen quite a few people. But you know why, Pastor? This is why it's called a universal language. Because if you play an E in Nashville, it's an E in Japan. It's an E in Saudi Arabia. Did anybody feel me out there? I can play with anybody in the world. All you got to do is let me know what note or what key you're playing in. Anybody feel me? B.B. King played in Russia before the president ever went.
Yes,
somebody feel something out there, you all. Yes, it did.
Hey, Jesse, I heard B.B. gave the Pope Lucille.
Yes, sir.
I heard he gave, as a gift, he gave Lucille to the Pope.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Talk to me. That's nothing but the truth. Somebody felt him.
Why should a churchgoer feel guilty if the chords and the scales to ZZ Hill allows him to sit back and relax with, I'm not going to take no liquor now, some lemonade, okay? Ginger ale, you just got to have something a little stronger. Ginger ale,
right?
Why should you feel guilty and listen to that and or Inez Andrews? Or should you?
You know what happened to me? I was at a park in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I had a niece be out there with her buddies out in the park. She was approximately 8 or 9 years old, you all. You know what she told me the next day? She said, Uncle Casey, when you was up there playing and shouting last night, did y'all hear what I said?
God, he'll speak
to you through a child. He said, Clay, did you know you were shouting? She didn't even know nothing about church people. I'm letting y'all know. She didn't even know. She wasn't even into church. And why did she, and where did she get that from to tell me that? God had to speak through her. My niece told me that, y'all. Sometimes, like Pastor said, Pastor, I feel a lot of things. I've done a lot of things in life. But for me to play and get people to smile, sir, I've never felt nothing like that in my life. Money won't do it. Food won't do it. Matter of fact, we used to like to talk to my good loving. Let me tell all you something out there. Try being a musician or a pastor and give the word, give the truth out and change someone's life. Nothing can touch you.
Wow.
Nothing can touch you.
Could it, Pastor Waller, could it be that the reason on Saturday night folks go to the hole in the wall is because the church is closed? Could that be it?
Uh-oh.
Well, I think that's valuable. You know, I would like to say that, you know, it's a sad thing. I've said it often, and I've said it over and over and over again. It ought to be a law against having churches that's closed like that. You know, coming from where I came from, you see, because see, I had a dope game going on for 24 hours a day.
That's right.
I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud. I'm not rejoicing. I'm not glorifying that. But by me knowing that the enemy does not work once a week.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
I know he don't. Came from that lifestyle. And I say, when I got over on the other side and went inside the church and I saw how they were operating and
yes,
I saw
sir.
The fun, the joy, all the things that they was having inside.
Yes,
and then
sir.
I mess around and read it in the book that it says, go out into the world, preach the gospel. I knew then it wasn't just talking about on Sunday.
Pastor.
Think it's fair to do that on times like Saturday when people are living for the weekend. They don't have nowhere to go, so they got to go to the Jew junk, wherever they want to go at, to have a nice time. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And that's, do I go into a church on Saturday night, or do I go, wherever they end up at? I mean, come on.
You know, we always have our hard times is, we're still talking about that, right?
Pastor,
can you, in a town called Murfreesboro, Tennessee, that they was confused because Christmas fell on Sunday this year. And you know what they were doing? They were confused because they were almost fussing about one side wanted to have church and one side didn't. How can you call yourself followers of Christ and you're not on one accord, sir? Can you all believe that? And guess what?
So
you know what else fell on that same day? Would have been first. It would have been New Year's Day.
But also, complain
about that. Are we gonna have church or not? You ought to have church every day. You wonder why the devil's winning? You know why the devil is winning?
Right.
Amazingly.
He heard of anybody having a sucker strain? The devil don't have to have a sucker strain because he'll stand up for himself. Tell that, America. I'm going to tell that.
Talk to me. I believe that'll preach.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
See, he's depending on other people. He'll do it himself. You know what? Open up the door, and I'll get it myself.
I get it.
Heard that before?
James Brown.
Thank you.
Yes.
You open up the door and I get it myself. I'm not begging and crying and complaining about I don't know how I'm going to make it. I've been done made it.
Right.
Okay. And it don't take $1 million to make it. We complain too much.
Let me share why I raised that question, gentlemen.
That's a good question. I know that.
I see today that many congregations say, we need to get our young people, we need to get them involved, we need to bring them in. And to do so, the methodology they choose is to open the door for rap expression, praise dances, and things of that nature. Well, for the young people, they keep it what they call 100.
Yes,
sir. The thing is, either you're going to be down with it or you're not.
That's right.
So what happens as a negative consequence or unintended consequence is that they start to overtake the ministry in the church.
Yes.
And you got folks doing a little bit of this and doing a little bit of that. When it comes time to telling them, well, no, that's not appropriate, and bringing them back to where they need to be, you have a hard time because you've already gave them power to control what? Presence of worship.
That's right. That's right.
And what I'm getting at is, when we look at the powerful message from our history, we understand that we got to blues and we got to hip-hop and rap from the gospel experience. But nobody has done an effective job of teaching young and old people the connection to our heritage that came straight out of the continent of Africa.
If you are effective less, you are healing less.
Yes,
that's why. And let me tell you this. The church is in trouble, and you haven't said ain't nothing worse than being lost, and you won't ask for directions.
That's
you're
the truth.
Too proud to ask for real truth, and you're too proud to stand for the truth, sir. Sugarcoating has ruined this country. People can't even tell the real Christian. I'll tell you to your face and prove me wrong. You know what we've been doing? We've been complaining about coming together. Oh, I thought the day you became a Christian, you was together. How come we can't get anyone to go out there and say, no, when they protested the other week, killing each other, burning down stuff because they were Black Lives Matter? Well, my question to America is, where were the good people that should have been out there saying, you can stop, y'all, because wrong would never make a right? Where were the good people at? That's my question for 2017, is where are the good people at? Because Sunday morning is
well,
not
those,
doing it.
Those people obviously were afraid, Casey.
They were afraid, obviously. I thought they were children of God.
Pastor, what we say?
Help me out.
Don't we say God has power in the name of Jesus?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to prove it to me.
Let me be clear. I'm not questioning that fact.
Amen.
But the question Casey is raising, where is this power when we need it? How are we using that power when it is most needed?
That's the real question.
Well, it's been well talked about, but not talked about on the outside. It's talked about on the inside.
I know you're right. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, let me say this right here, I'm saying this because I know God wanted me to be delivered on a Friday so I can make sure that deliverance just don't come on Sunday. That means people have to come out of the church because you said that we have been enslaved, right? Okay, now what's the problem with being free? What's wrong with being free? In other words, you know, and you said the truth and the truth shall make you free.
So since we know that inside the building that it makes us free, then why is it so hard or so difficult to take it out into the world to make the people aware that, hey, you deserve to be free?
Amen.
You see? So what we're dealing with, and that's why I wanted to put emphasis on when you asked that question, Pastor, about sadly what would some brothers and sisters have to do when they don't know where to go other than where they're going because the church doors are not open. Again, I got delivered on a Friday, man, and God wanted me to remember. I don't know when I got caught in the trap, but I do know when I got delivered.
Now you know that day, don't you?
I do know that. You know what I'm saying? And it was not on a Sunday, man.
Yes, yes.
You know? Okay. And thank God. You know, I thank God for that. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, personally, that you asked about what about Saturday? I mean, you know, if a person don't have no clothes, the church doors are not open. I mean, where are they supposed to go? They supposed to continue to be always done because they have no options right about there at that point.
Amen.
And so that's a very good point, man. I just encourage the people who are listening that they may desire to call in and kind of tap into that. And I'm sure in that area, they may be having the same thing going on, or maybe they found a solution and they need to just bring it to the table and let us know. It's so difficult, man. You know, out of all these churches, it's the percentage on those that are going outside is probably on a, I say probably now, because I don't know everything. Probably on an all-time low. It's probably on an all-time low of the ones who are taking the good news, which is the gospel, and that's the way we started this program, talking about the gospel and how, you know, we already had a difficult times, you know, being enslaved and then, you know, have to listen to what we can, what can encourage us and to hold on and keep on pushing, and we've done that. Okay, so now it's time to just wake up. Just
yes,
wake
sir.
Up and do something about it.
That is so good.
Well, gentlemen, I got another piece that I want us to hear here. This is great conversation, but I do want to highlight something both of you are saying, and that is it's very important that we realize that there is a hole, a void in the life of, I'm not just talking about the unsaved or the world, as we said, but church folk.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons church folk sneak and dip and tip is because there's something missing.
Yes, sir.
There's something missing. And if we can be honest, somebody asked me as a pastor, well, is there anything wrong with me enjoying the music I grew up on that told my story? And clearly I said to them, if you understood where that came from and those people that produced that, you would understand that that's nothing but an extended expression of who you are and your heritage. That's a powerful connection. And we know that it's often used for the wrong reasons, and people conjure up different emotions and what have you, and folk for destructive purposes. But having said that, there is a very powerful lesson in Negro musicology because it is a story of us as a people in America. Let me do this. Let me do this. Casey, I'm picking on you again.
I'm listening.
Can I pick on you again, Casey?
So bring it on. Please do.
All right. So what I want you to talk to me after this other message, Casey, and this musical piece, I want you to talk to me about me. Talk to me about the role, the rich heritage of Negro people, the music that we have. What role does it play as we continue to teach our young and develop our families and our subcultures? But after this message, and we're going to listen to Aubrey Gent and B.B. King. On the other side, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. We'll be right back.
Reverend Ruben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. To learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times, and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. Our special guest tonight is Mr. Casey Clark, jazz and gospel musician of in his own right. We're talking about musicology, Negro musicology, story of his people. There's still a few minutes to call, 657 303-383-0944. Pastor Wallace with us again, our regular panelist. Brother Clark.
Yes, sir. Right here.
Did you hear how they were using a slide on that steel guitar?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about that, man. That was a gospel guy, R.B.
Yes, sir.
Known very well for his ability to play gospel music on a steel guitar. And then B.B. King had this brother tearing that thing up.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about that.
Gospel and music. Music, America, is a spirit. And if God works through you, you will touch and move people and make a difference. It, like I told you earlier, only seven notes is what you do with them. If you play it from your heart, it will reach the heart.
Yes,
slide
it will.
Came from the old brothers up under the tree with the straw hats on, gentlemen. Some of them use a ball neck. Start from there. Come on now. See, it ain't what you do, it's how you do it, people. If you were for real, you would touch somebody.
Okay.
They can use a beer can. See what we use when we have nothing? B.B. King learned how to play a guitar, you all, tied a piece of rubber on a limb of a tree with one piece of rubber.
What?
That's how you start playing a guitar.
Say what?
See what you can do?
Jason, that piece I shared with you, it came from a concert, one of his last concerts before he died. And I think he was in London. Do you know he had about 30 different guitarists come on stage? All of them were mimicking his chords that he was famous for.
Yes, sir.
Man, what an honor. What an honor.
Yes, right. That is true. Told you with the Russia,
and
when the politics couldn't go, music will open doors anywhere.
Anywhere, wasn't it?
It was a stone communist. But B.B. King went, hey, did he go to Cook County Jail?
No.
Uh-oh. Talk to me, somebody.
Uh-oh.
Where was B.B. King at? Was that him? When they was American him?
Speaking of phone, Pastor.
You said they was mimicking B.B. King. Where were they?
They were in London, England.
In London.
And all of these guitarists came out to his concert as an honor and a tribute to him to play that song, Thrill Is Gone. And each of them in their own way, played the chords that he was most notably known for.
Yes.
Last concert?
Yes.
One of his last concerts. Yes, he was like 82 or 83 then. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
That was awesome, man.
That is
it was. It really is. I let me tell y'all something. B.B. King, like Howlin' Wolf and a lot of those musicians came straight out of the Delta of Mississippi.
Amen.
Casey told us that one of the routes is through 65, and you get through 65 from Nashville to go out through the deep parts of the South, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, all of those states.
Yeah, you remember Route 66?
Yeah.
Turn, sir. That'll carry on down through there, sir.
Come on.
About it is nothing but the truth. There's a reason for the they had the movie about the little boy. Just sitting up under the tree a few years back. He was. They said he was met by the devil, but what he was met by was truth. See, a lot of us don't want to admit truth. It changed him. Let's tell the whole story. Let's tell it right. Because, you know what? I've seen many people change their lifestyle for just a few notes of music, sir. I can prove it.
Right.
If it's right. And love is in it, it's going to bring some people together.
So what I'm hearing you say, Casey, that it can be a very powerful tool to teach, to inspire, and to uplift. Is that what I'm hearing from you, Casey?
Yes, sir.
teach,
yes, sir,
inspire,
yes,
and uplift. Is that what we need today in 2017?
Woo, woo. Yes, sir. We need something because, you know what? You know what? There's a lot of people who sometimes they can get a little bit, let them know, they don't want to know God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you all something. Nobody have changed America like the Beatles did.
Mm.
Those guys came over here. They changed our hairdo, our clothing, even our walk. Anybody don't believe I can prove? See,
okay.
When you got to be effective, people.
Right.
And they go back to being truth again. See?
So you
can't
tell me
realness and greatness at the same time. You can't beat it.
Right. We got about 12 minutes, and I do have a very special piece because before we leave the night, the preacher in me calls me to leave us with hope tonight. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so I have a special song that I want to end the show with that will be a message of hope. But in about 5 minutes, Casey, tell me about those artists like Donny Hathaway.
Uh-huh.
The man, there's debate as to whether or not he committed suicide and what have you, but they say he did. Some people think he was killed and pushed out of one. Charlie Parker. What those people died early, man. They OD'd and what have you. What's the brother's name? Played with the Temptations, lead singer with David Ruffin. What was it about their skill and talent that they missed from God that they couldn't get their lives together?
It's that sometimes we can love what we do so much, and we want people. We want to give something to someone. Nothing hurts like wanting to give love when love won't be accepted. Mm. Oh, but deep. When you give love, the way these people you just named, these people, that's all. They music, vocals were them. That was their soul. They wanted the world to, waiting on the world to change. Who is that guy got tonight right now? He says waiting on the world to change.
Right.
We love so much, Paul. We'll go, what the song says, I'll go if I had to go by myself.
By myself. So is that the high that they were looking for then, JC? Was that the ultimate high they were looking for?
I would say
being able to say that I touched somebody's life with my music.
Yes, sir. Because I still say music, is when it's done right, first of all, it is done real, you all. The world is lacking real and truth nowadays.
Well, now, what was wrong with Everett Warden and the War Band? Them cats looked like they were stoned every time they picked up the instrument.
That's true. You know what? That they would say, well, people, you get high, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Uh-huh.
Can't change the truth. Can't nothing change realness. When I first started playing a little bit of music, that was the thing. Remember, I tell you this all the time about they're always getting high.
Right.
Tell you what.
Right.
Let's stop sometime, listeners, and think, what would you do without music and a lot of those guys I just named? And then let's put it like this. Look how many, maybe we can say the blues maybe broke up some marriages. But it also brought some people back home.
Right.
Keep that in mind.
Wow.
It's two sides.
Well, I tell you, William Bell said, he made a powerful song. He said, listen, I forgot to be your lover.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Yes.
Was Don Corvey explained how he messed up when he was stepping out, and he found out she was stepping in as he was checking out. She was checking in.
Bye.
And it messed him up. He said, wait a minute, now I'm messing up. But you know that fella, he sang the song, If Loving You Is Wrong, but he realized, some other folks realized, we done messed up here.
Oh, If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right.
What's that, brother?
What if we felt that way about God?
My. Watch it now, Casey.
Wouldn't be high. then we wouldn't be scared to God is my Father. And
to go out in the street like Pastor, and to go in the street like Pastor Wallace said, go out in the street, let folks see you out there.
And you know
not
what?
Hand behind four walls.
That's right. It's a shame. 11 o'clock Sunday morning is still the most racist hour in America.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
We have children of God. And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not talking even about black and white. I'm
right.
talking about gone black now.
Uh-oh.
Please stop. You're the only one that's right when there's so much wrong.
Right.
I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to wake you up.
Okay.
I can wake you up in the morning. you can get up and go do something. But if I'm picking up, you turn and go the other way.
So this is instructional then, huh, Casey? This is an educational exercise. Okay. We're about 7 minutes out. The topic tonight was Negro musicology, the story of a people in America. You've been listening to Talk Straight with your host, Reuben Dockery, and our special guest tonight, Mr. Adam Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a professional musician, gospel, a little bit of everything, and our regular panels, Ricky Waller. Go to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. Support us in our efforts to bring this lecture series, helping our young people across America. Before we leave tonight, I know we talked about a lot. I want to leave us with a message of hope. As the music played, gentlemen, I want us to think about it. And if you want to share some thoughts, some helpful thoughts, go ahead. It'll play as we get ready to roll out here tonight. We got about 6 minutes. The Mighty Clouds of Joy. I have a song.
Joe Lagun.
Joe Lagun, the late Joe Lagun.
Lagun.
Died this past December of 2016. Says, order my steps.
Woo!
You don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. Talk to God.
Start just thinking. All the time. And all the time, God is.
feel good. He knows you when he can get rid of you.
God bless you.